Tonight, Amazon declares war on publishers. Google's got its eye on Skybox and a tablet for Project Tango. Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 94 for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. I'm Jason Howell. Let's get right to the tech feed. Amazon is going for the jugular with publisher Hachette, and last night started refusing orders for upcoming Hachette books, including J.K. Rowling's new novel and Brad Stone's The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon. But that's not all. In Germany, Amazon is delaying deliveries of books issued by major publisher Bonnier, and the German Publishers and Booksellers Association's antitrust experts are looking into whether these tactics violate the law. So what's going on? Amazon wants better terms on ebooks out of Hachette and Bonnier, which would provide, or improve rather, Amazon's profit margins. In Hachette's case, it's cutting the customer's discount, so the book's price is almost at list price, slowing shipments of books by weeks, suggesting customers buy other books instead, and increasing the discount for the Kindle version. Hachette children's book author Nina Layden has spoken out against Amazon. She notes that, quote, saying that our books will ship in 3 to 5 weeks when they are in stock is not only a disgusting negotiation practice, but it has made me tell my readers to shop elsewhere. Twitter has honored 5 requests in the past month from Abdul Bateen of the Pakistan Telecommunications Authority to block certain accounts, tweets, or searches on Twitter that he described as blasphemous or unethical. The blocking of these tweets is in line with a country-specific censorship policy Twitter implemented in 2012, but it's first time the social network has agreed to withhold content in Pakistan. Twitter has always claimed a commitment to free speech, but argues that it's a lesser evil to block specific tweets that might violate local laws than to have the entire site blocked in certain countries. The company posts a record of every request it honors in the Chilling Effects Clearinghouse, a database that's run by 8 U.S. law schools and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. In the past, Twitter has blocked neo-Nazi tweets from German users and tweets from an ultra-nationalist Ukrainian group from Russian users. LG's upcoming G3 smartphone can claim something pretty impressive, a laser autofocus system on its camera. The laser will detect the depth of the subject you want to take a picture of and speed up the time from tapping the digital shutter to capturing the image, which is more precise and faster with optical systems. The rear camera on the G3 will have a 13-megapixel sensor, the front-facing camera 2.1 megapixels. LG also says it's introducing new gesture recognition that will have the G3 take a selfie when you clench your fist in front of it. More details at LG's launch event in London next Tuesday. YouTube has announced Creator Preview. It's a new initiative in the form of a video series where the company shares features it's working on for creators. In its first video, YouTube says it's building a mobile app for creators, which allows fans to directly contribute funds to creators and a way to harness the power of the crowd to create captions and subtitles for your videos in more than 60 languages. YouTube says it will be releasing these Creator Preview videos regularly. The Wall Street Journal reports that Google's Project Tango is taking on production of a new tablet, and the company says it plans to produce around 4,000 of the prototype tablets starting next month, citing anonymous sources. The device could include a 7-inch screen and have 2 back cameras, infrared depth sensors, and advanced software that can capture precise 3-dimensional images of objects. Project Tango is part of Google's Advanced Technology and Projects Group. Back in February, the research group released a prototype smartphone also covered in sensors and designed to create 3-dimensional maps of its users' surroundings, which could be used for improved indoor navigation for the visually impaired, step-by-step directions within stores, and a more immersive video game experience. Now, coming up, it started back in 2011, but the anti-poaching case of Silicon Valley's biggest companies may finally be over. But first, I'm joined by Seth Rosenblatt, senior writer for CNET News and all-around good guy. How's it going, Seth?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's good to have you here. Let's chat about Google a little bit, their acquisition-happy lifestyle. The latest startup supposedly in their sights is Skybox Imaging, according to sources. Skybox Imaging is a Mountain View company that specializes in high-resolution landscape Imaging. So, Seth, tell me a little bit more about what Skybox Imaging does, and that might specifically have caught Google's attention here.
Yes. Well, first off, you got to remember to call them Skybox and not Skynet. Okay. There's a little temptation there to run with that.
Distinct
one.
But subtle.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. And the what they do basically is high resolution photos and video taken from low Earth orbit. So the potential there for Google is that they can bolster Google Earth and Google Maps with real-time data from a small fleet of satellites orbiting the Earth.
Yeah, I mean that's obviously probably the easiest point of comparison, right? To what Google has in its stable, their Google Maps and Earth. It's teeters on the creepy factor for some people to know that, hey, wait a minute, their mapping product might actually see live or at least up to the day updates in their satellite imagery. How could you Google use this purchase to their business advantage in other ways, like Titan Aerospace, tie into that, Project Loon? What else do you think they could do with it?
Sure. Well, you know, the idea, I think, is that search advertising isn't really growing much. It's certainly decreasing on desktops, and it's growing on mobile, but really only Facebook has been able to totally capitalize on that. Google has been doing better capitalizing on mobile than others, but it's not doing it at a Facebook-like level. And we've known for some time that they're looking at expanding beyond search advertising. So if you can imagine what a company that does immense analytics like Google could do with the data from real-time virtual Earth, shot constantly by these satellites, it's really quite remarkable. How they would monetize it, there hasn't really been much speculation at this point, but no doubt that Google's ability to sell those maps would be a big part of it. We do know that they have an enterprise business for selling those maps and allowing companies to customize their use of them. They also sell them to government institutions, research organizations, universities. So it wouldn't be very difficult to see how something like this would fit in with their current business plan.
Sure. And we've kind of been hearing for a while, too, now that Google has an interest in this whole satellite game, buying into the satellite business in some way. Do you think this purchase would provide an immediate value to Google, or is this, like you say, something maybe a little bit more of a long-term play?
Yeah, I think this is really a long-term play. This is something that's going to play out over 5 years at least. Yeah. They may be able, if they even go ahead and do purchase Skybox or one of its competitors. One of the points of the story is that the original source of it on TechCrunch hedged their source pretty heavily. So we're not even sure that this is going to happen. If it does happen, it would be 4 or 5 years down the line, not some sort of 1 year turnaround.
Yeah, and if a company is going to do this and do it right, I would imagine Google, has deep enough pockets to do it, because I think in that same TechCrunch article, they were talking just kind of about the risk factor that Skybox, they're about to run out of funding, so they're kind of hedging their bets and hoping that this happens, because otherwise they're going to have to go for another round, but also just that it's really expensive to put these satellites into the sky and manage and maintain them, and there's a lot of risk there. I guess Google's the company that could really help out with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, when you're Google and you've got, the immense scads of cash sitting around that you do.
You're sleeping in a bed of money, essentially. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's utter, Scrooge McDuck, from the cartoons, diving into a pit of money and coming up, 10 feet further down the hall.
Yeah. There we go. Very nice. Thank you, Alex.
There it is. So it's something that's a ways off. It's not going to be like Waze, where they were able to integrate the technology within a year,
Yeah, right on. All right, well, Seth Rosenblatt, thank you so much for joining me on Tech News tonight and talking all about Google's probably next purchase here.
Yeah,
really appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Tell people where they can follow your work online.
Oh, sure. I'm at cnetnews.com.
Excellent. And Seth R. on Twitter, is that right?
Seth R.
Yep. All right, fantastic. Easy to remember. Thanks again, Seth.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, and finally, you may remember the antitrust lawsuit against Apple, Google, Intel, and Adobe Systems from employees who claimed the companies conspired to suppress salaries by not recruiting one another's workers. That was back in 2011. Well, the companies have agreed to pay $324.5 million to settle. Lawyers for employees who sued the companies are seeking a judge's preliminary approval of the deal, according to a filing in federal court in San Jose, California. The deal covers more than 64,000 technical employees, though workers settled for about a tenth of the $3 billion they plan to seek at a trial that was set for May 27th. Under federal antitrust law, damages won at a trial might have been three times as much. Under the settlement, the companies would deposit $1 million into an escrow account within 10 days of preliminary court approval, with the remainder due within 7 days after final court approval. That is it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. You can subscribe to this show at twit.tv/TN2 and write to us at tn2@twit.tv. We're off on Monday. It's a reminder for Memorial Day here in the U.S., but do not miss our morning tech news program, a show that I help produce in the morning. Tech News Today starts next Tuesday and through the rest of the week, every weekday, in fact, at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Jason Howell. Thank you so much for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.